Every day, millions of men go to work questioning their purpose and how to leverage their gifts for the advancement of God's kingdom. Join us as we hear stories from other men just like you and me who have discovered the answer and are willing to share some wisdom they've learned along the way. Gathering wisdom is like dropping pennies in a jar. Over time, our jars fill up and overflow into the lives of others. Welcome to The Drop.
My last little thing I'll do, again, we didn't get to overtly cover, and I think they're going to, as they assemble, they're going to be talking about what are some unique traditions, what are some stuff that you do. What I was thinking through of stuff that in my family, my son is 9, he'll be 9 and a half the day after Christmas. One tradition we've started doing since he was probably 3 is every year when we first put up the Christmas tree, we give him a new ornament for that year. Because we're weird, we make sure it doesn't have a year on it, so that he has to actually remember it. And it's so fun to see, as he puts stuff on the tree, he remembers, oh, the Darth Vader one, that was from 3rd grade. Oh, this one is from 1st grade. And so this year, if any of you came by our house or saw at Halloween last week, he was a giant inflatable Pikachu. And so we got him a Pikachu ornament this year. And so it's fun to quiz my own son on how much he actually remembers, like, oh, that was the year. It isn't always his Halloween costume, although that would make it really easy. But again, that's where I hope you can take away something. Again, whether you, your biggest role right now is husband, it's grandparent, it's granddad, it's father, it's son, it's uncle, whatever that role is, our hope and desire is that you would learn what are some other ways you can be intentional. So with that, Mike Pick, here you go.
Hey, thanks, Jared. Hey, let's everybody stand up for a minute. Shake your legs after that food setting in it and that long speech by Jared. Just kidding. Maybe getting a little tired. So tonight, I don't know if you guys know this, but we've been doing something at the church in the men's ministry. We're doing these video casts where we're interviewing just men in the church in the community. We're talking about the occupation they do and how they walk out their faith in the community. It's been really cool to get to know some of the men that I hadn't known before. So this is kind of the first time we've ever done it in this format. So please bear with us if there's a little, if we redo something or maybe there's a little technical glitchiness. So thanks for standing up. Just shake your legs. Let's sit down. So how it's going to work tonight is I'm just going to ask some questions of these men. But first, let's have them introduce themselves.
Hey, my name is Travis Avila. I work at the church, and it's a pleasure to be here.
So, Travis, tell us about your family a little bit.
Family, yes. I've got a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old, and my wife and I have been married 18 years. There you go.
Bruce Terrell, let's see, married 49 years. I've got 2 kids and 4 grandkids. I represent the old grandpa up here.
Rudy Bachman. Been coming to New Life for about 6.5, 7 years, introduced to this community through my wife. We've been married for 5.5 years, second go-around for both of us, and so we've got 5 between us, scattered between Colorado, Arizona, Orange County, L.A., and Porterville. So, we're busy. We love the church, and I think some of you may know my wife, Jackie, who recently joined the board.
Hey, Jeff Landon. I guess I represent the guy that has all the kids running around between the 9 and 11 o'clock service. We have an 8-year-old, 7-year-old, and 4-year-old, and my wife and I have been married about 12 years.
And I'm Marty Wadlow, and my wife and I have been at this church about 22 years, I think. We've been married for 33. We both teach in Lucy-Amar School District, so thank you all for your support when you support the district in different ways. We've raised 3 children, most of them through this church. Like, my daughter's 26, my son here is 21, and we have a 22-year-old son, and they've grown up through this church, so I think that's about it.
Well, thank you for introducing yourselves. So the first question, I'm just going to go down the line here to keep it easy. So I'd like to know, I'm going to ask you what some of the traditions you have in the holidays, but I want to start that at, like, Thanksgiving, all the way to New Year's, because I think it is Christmas that is the focal point for the church, but also the madness of the holiday starts around that time. So, Travis, can you talk about some of the traditions that your family employs?
Yeah, for sure. So when our kids were little, I remember, and probably many of you have felt the same way, you've got little kids, and you've got family all around, and you're just booking it, like Jared said, from one house to another, grandparent to grandparent to grandparent, and you're exhausted. And I remember one year, Jen and I just looked at each other, and we're like, hey, I remember being home when I was a kid. Do you remember being home when you were a kid? She's like, yeah, I was home all the time, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And I was like, when do we start that, where we just stay home? So then we just decided, you know what? We're just going to stay home, and you guys can all come to us, and you're welcome. But it is, like, exhausting trying to get kids everywhere, you know? And so that was one thing when our kids were, I don't know, 5 and 7, we said, hey, we're going to be home, and you're more than welcome to come to us. And so that was like a, well, I'm slow. It felt like a mind-blowing revelation, but probably pretty obvious to most of you guys. So yeah, I think that was a big one. You know, our traditions have changed a lot since I started working at the church 4 or 5 years ago. And you know, one of the things that I think it was maybe the first year at around, I think it was Christmas Eve, we'd had 4 services or something like that. I think we went with the Hutzkos to Panda Express on Christmas Eve at like 9 o'clock at night. And my wife looks over at me and she's like, what have you done? And so it's changed a lot over the 4 or 5 years. But what I've realized is that it's just about making the moments you have really special as much as you can. And so for those of you who work a lot around the holidays or whatever, I think, you know, just making those moments really special has been really impactful. One of the ways I've been doing that is I have this book. It's called Every Moment Holy. And it's an amazing book of prayers and liturgies, and it's prayers for every occasion. Like, Mike, we were talking about, like, in the Jewish tradition, there's a prayer for everything, right? So it's like there's a liturgy for folding laundry and changing diapers and anything like that. And so there's one for the first time you set up your Christmas tree. And so I'll pull out this book every year when we set up our Christmas tree, and I'll just gather my family together and read this prayer over them. Or on, you know, Christmas morning, or when we have like a big feast on Thanksgiving, things like that, just to try to make the moment really special and bring Jesus into the conversation. And honestly, one of my favorite traditions, Jared mentioned, is the men's prayer. I mean, this is a tradition your children will hate, because I don't get home till like 7 o'clock in the morning, and they've been up for 2 hours just itching to open presents. But I love that they know that, you know, I hope that they realize their dad puts gathering in prayer on Christmas morning forefront, and they will, hopefully that will mark them as they grow. So some of our traditions.
Hey, let me ask you just a quick follow-up on that. So when you made the decision after all this running around to stay home, what has that done for your family? Not just your nuclear family, but how did everybody else in your family take it that you made that decision?
Yeah, they were like, oh, okay, I guess we'll come to you. But I was like, yeah, Mom and Dad, you guys are empty nesters. And so it worked out great, because we'll alternate, like Thanksgiving, go to Jen's parents, and then we'll go to my parents, but then on Christmas, we just know we're home. Especially, you know, working with the church is just, it's chaos, and so Christmas morning is just after men's prayer. We'll get home, we usually do our Christmas morning thing, and then people will start flooding in throughout the afternoon. So it's been really good, and I think it's just been good for the kids to have it be, like, peaceful and restful in their own home, and then they get the family coming in, too. So I think
thank you, Travis. And so, Bruce, you're the only grandpa here.
I'm the grandpa.
You're a grandpa too, sorry. Yeah, so maybe you could talk about some of the traditions you had when your kids were little, but now that you're a grandpa, where do you sit on that?
Okay. One real obvious one, and I'm sure the vast majority of you, or quite a few of you, do it also, but at Thanksgiving and at Christmas, on the big family meals, we don't just dive into the food. We stand around and everybody holds hands, even though there's a ton of us, and we hold hands and pray. And we'll try, you know, sometimes I'll try to get one of the kids to do the prayer, and that's a pretty cool little thing right there. Another tradition we have is when we put up the tree. It started when my kids were young, and now I get to do it with my grandkids, but there's a song by Mannheim Steamroller called Traditions of Christmas, and it like breaks me up every year, but we'll put that on and we'll dance, and it's the most beautiful song if you've never heard it. And so I would dance. I still remember my daughter standing on my feet dancing. And now I've got grandkids that do that. But it meant so much to her. The father-daughter dance when she got married was traditions of Christmas. And so that's one thing we do. Another one on Christmas Eve, I didn't do this with my kids, and I regret that, but with my grandkids, as soon as the oldest, who's now 15, could read even a little, we would read the Christmas story. But it's the kids that read it, I don't read it. But I will take them, I'll write down, okay, what verses, blah, blah, blah. And I'll take them into the room, and I'll say, okay, so here's the Bible. So here, we're going to read it, so practice it, and I'll help you with the big words. And so as the kids have, I've got four grandkids, 15 all the way down to 9. And, I'll write it down. I'm very intentional about which verses we're going to do. And as the kids are getting older, I can expand it into Isaiah and various things. But the kids read the story to us. And I'm there just kind of helping them with the big words. Well, not the 15-year-old. He helps me with the big words now. But then we'll talk about what it means. And we'll have a 10, 15-minute discussion about some of the everything about the Christmas story and who Jesus is. Simple little question to the kids up to maybe a little more detail and give them a chance to kind of preach to us. So we think that's a pretty cool little tradition.
Thank you. So let me ask you, how has the transition been for some other grandparents that maybe are checking this out? How's that transition been from when your kids are out of the house and now you're a part of these holidays, like Travis was talking about? How have you engineered that so it's still intentional with your family now that there's three generations?
Oh, okay. Everything's a season in our lives. And from the kids leaving home and going to college and coming back on Christmas break to where, they get married and start bringing their families back. But, you end one phase and you just have to be flexible and intentional knowing you're in the next phase. And then know you're in the next phase, and the next phase. And we have the bigger house of the three families. I have two kids, so of the three families. And so they keep coming back, and it's wonderful. And we've said, well, we can start going to your place if you want. And my wife especially says that after the cooking. But everybody still enjoys coming over, so we do that, and it works out really well.
Thank you. So Rudy, coming from, you have a blended family now,
yeah,
and incorporating two families' traditions. Talk about some of the things you do at the holidays.
Well, I just taking a step back, talking about that generational. It's been great to kind of think. My mom's one of 10 children, Irish Catholic, so Thanksgiving was just pandemonium. I mean, at my grandmother's house, I mean, literally there'd be 60, 70 people. They have very open doors, so the neighbors, friends of friends, friends of the family. So it was I grew up in a very open, welcome, and it was an all-day event, that starts cooking, the guys play horseshoes, and it's an all-day thing. And then fast forward to growing up, it's always been at my folks' house, and so they open their garage up, and literally we have Thanksgiving in a garage, a two-car garage, and same thing, 25, 30 people. And, one of the real meaningful traditions is my mom, the grandmother, always started with, all right, we're going to pray and then give thanks. And so it's just wonderful to hear all the people, especially people who aren't family, who are neighbors, who frankly have no place to go, who are just, they're thankful to be with other people and to have a meal. So that's a real special tradition. And then you go through, divorce. During that time, we've lost family members. So holidays are, there's periods where it's a period that was very, very difficult. And then to go and blend family, Jackie and I have been very intentional, and so we focused on the kids and to be flexible. And so it's more of an open house, and the opportunity for them and others to flow through. And we've been able to make it work, and it's worked really well, but not without some, you know, hurt feelings and broken hearts in between. But we've been able to get through that, and, you know, of course, the food, and then just a lot of small conversations, especially between, you know, aunts and uncles, cousins, and so there's a lot of intentional fellowship, or organic, I should say, organic fellowship, reconnection that happens. It's really, that's my memory of, you know, a traditional Thanksgiving.
So let me ask you something about food, because food is such a big part of the holidays. How did that work, you know, with your new family navigating what food would be served? I mean, did that cause stress, or was it complimentary?
You know, that's a great question. My family, they're kind of foodies. My sisters, I've got three younger sisters, so there's always a competition about cooking pie, you know, who can bake the best pie. Jackie's a great cook, but she feels kind of, you know, she does.
It is recorded, you know that.
Right, she holds her own, But, you know, quite honestly, all the grandkids, all the kids jump in. And so it's more of a family activity. Making everything from, you know, green bean casserole to the pumpkin pie, you know, and food is very much a center of it. Jumping forward to Christmas, you know, a little bit different. Christmas Eve, we have chowder and crab, and then traditionally the kids have opened a gift, and then Christmas Day, because we're a blended family. Jackie's kids will be there in the morning. My kids will come over mid-morning after spending Christmas Eve with their mom, and then from there we go over to my folks. So it's just, you know, it's just pajamas all day long, food, and just, you know, really nice. Yeah.
Thank you. So Jeff, with the wild ones in the house, what are some of the traditions that you've instilled?
Yeah, such a good question. So when Bruce asked if I would do this, I was like, I don't think we have any traditions. And my wife's sitting next to me, she's like, we have tons of traditions. What are you saying? like, what are they? But it's great because we're just starting to form them, you know, in our lives. So it's kind of like we're figuring them out. But starting at Thanksgiving, one of the things, like, we have a bunch of birthdays right at the end of November. So we do kind of like a birthday party Thanksgiving. And then, like, people that have passed in our family that had their birthdays at that time, too, we always, like, remember them. And my brother is really good on the piano, and he plays some of the, like, songs that my great-grandma used to, like, play and stuff. So we just kind of honor that. And then the day after Thanksgiving, we don't really do Black Friday. Instead, we go cut down a Christmas tree as a family, and the kids love that. They love the timber, and they all get to take a swing at it and sawing it down. And then as we kind of approach Christmas, we do the Advent calendars. My mom had one from when I was a kid, and we still use that same calendar. So it's pretty special. We have this calendar. And then going into Christmas, we do something really spiritual and watch Elf. pretty much every year we watch Elf. We love that movie. And then going into it, we do a Christmas dinner. We usually come to the Christmas Eve service if there is one. Well, there is usually one here. And then we've been figuring out the whole, like, staying home thing. And last year it was really, like, great because we had our first time where we stayed home, and then we went to the folks' house, like, in the evening, and her parents came and joined as well. So it was like all the whole family was there. The funnest kind of tradition that we've established the last few years, our daughter Audrelle is, like, very creative, and my wife was like, hey, like, let's do something that allows her to be creative and also learns the Christmas story. So instead of reading the Christmas story, we decided to do a play of the Christmas story. So my wife wrote this whole play, and she came up with all these different things, and she goes to Audrelle. Audrelle's like super excited about it, and she's like, Audrelle, you know, which character do you want to be? And she's like, I want to be the donkey. And we're like, you sure you don't want to be like an angel or like something else? And you know, she's still young then, but it's evolved a lot. And we have outfits. We like do this full-on play. And then the other thing we've been doing is trying to do like a bell song. And like, we're not very talented in the Landon family, but we do the bells. And it's really fun because we do it for the grandparents and they like all laugh and have fun. And we try to incorporate everybody a little bit into the play. But they're really learning the Christmas story through acting it out. And I think it's been great for our family. So,
just one quick follow-up. So tell me, what is an Advent calendar? What does that look like? And what is your tradition with that camera mean? That
so basically, mean? The one that we have is kind of cool. It's kind of like these little like figures of the story, anywhere from like the shepherds to Jesus, and he's like the last one. And each one has a day that they go into these little pockets, and you basically build out the whole nativity scene. And there's like kind of a little like talk that we do about each like thing that happened through the story. And then the church box that they put together last year like took it to the next level. And then Travis had like these great videos that I think you put together that we watched as well. And it like kind of added an additional layer of meaning. And I think this year, just kind of want to brace that to the next level since my kids are a little bit older now. And just talk to them more deeply about what it means to have the Messiah come to earth. So,
thank you. So, Marty, let's hear about your family's traditions.
Okay, so I'm listening to all your different stories. Nice to be last because I think we've done a little bit of everything. So as I'm thinking about tradition, it's like, okay, a tradition is something that you do year over year over year. But what I've realized is it kind of morphs as you get older and your kids get older. And the things you do when they're little, it just kind of changes. One of you said, I think it was Bruce that said, you just kind of be flexible and as you go through these different seasons. So I do have a couple that I think are fun traditions that we used to do or still do once in a while. One of them was, you know, we would go do the tree. We would go to Holloway's, you know, each year and cut down the tree. And then we bought a fake tree. But then we still went to Holloway's and we did the picture. And then we would do the hot chocolate still, right, around the fire. And we would do the whole cheesy, you know, well, all that stuff. So we would get it in back then we had albums, not Instagram, you know, post or whatever. But so we had all the albums, pictures done. That was great. And then from Thanksgiving, I think every holiday, what we've always tried to create is just a sense of being around people. And so one of the things that, like Thanksgiving, I don't know if it's necessarily a tradition, but our house has always been open to whoever. And it's not like we have a ton of people coming over to our house now that we host it most of the time. But we still invite friends or, you know, maybe someone that's like, you know, doesn't have any place else to go or family's not around. So just being open. And I think for us, the biggest part of the holiday season is just being in the moment and being around people that you love. And it was, you know, as the kids were younger, you know, you guys are in the midst of that now. And I just feel like I don't know, I've forgotten so much because we were so busy just doing things, trying to create those memories. And now that I have a granddaughter, I think I want to be just in the moment. So just enjoy watching, you know, the kids or, you know, with my adult children, just kind of being close.
So how do you do that?
I don't know. So those of you who are, I don't know. So my advice to anyone would be just to enjoy what you're in, but I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Practically speaking, I don't know what that means or what that looks like. I know what it looks like. I know what I want, but giving advice to someone, I have no idea. Because, you know, you get so busy. And I just know I don't want it to be busy anymore. Just sit back and relax.
So let's just stay with you, Marty, and we'll work our way back this way because I think this is a really important topic because there's a lot of financial stress, emotional stress, all these stressors at the holidays. And for that same reason you're talking about is just enjoying it. What kind of place can you go to or what kind of things do you think you could develop or maybe that you have done that create that intentionality going into that season knowing this is going to be X, Y, Z? How do I prepare for that? Do you have anything that you do to do that every time of year?
For me, as a kid, you know, you're all excited about ripping the presents open and looking at the presents. So what So for me now, as the dad and as my kids were getting older, like, we come downstairs now, and, you know, when the kids, they're still opening presents or whatever. So I just sit there and drink my coffee and just chill. I just watch. You know, we do all the family gifts later, the adult stuff. And so I can just sit and just watch. And that's very, very special.
Jeff, so going into this holiday season, how do you think you can lead your family to make it intentional and really about what the whole reason is, you know, the Messiah coming to planet and family and love, et cetera? How do you think you get yourself in the right frame of mind to accomplish that?
That's such a great question. I think, you know, one of the things trying just to learn to do is prepare for, like, the season, like Bruce had said, like, things come in seasons, and to do it in prayer. So just taking time and, like, praying, like, asking the Lord, like, how can I be a better dad in this season? How can I be present for my kids? I've just, like, learned that, like, everything takes my attention, and it's usually taking it away from my kids. And so, like, trying to set myself aside or apart for my family in a way where I'm present, and, like, really, honestly, intentionally want to do that really well this year. Last year in December, we all had gotten pretty sick, so we missed Christmas, honestly. Last year was, like, kind of, like, we had to push it all back, which showed us, like, the date doesn't matter, which is nice. But this year, just want to be, like, ready and intentional for that time to just be there for the kids. Whether it's just, like, throwing a baseball, kicking a soccer ball, I want to have those moments that I think as a working man, it's easy to miss just in the busyness of life. So it's something to practice, I think, just taking time with the Lord daily, thinking about it and reflecting on it.
Rudy, so when you got married, did you say 6 years ago to
yeah.
Jackie? So at that time when you blended your families in approaching the holidays, did you come up with an intentional approach to do that allowed these holidays to be successful?
You know, that's... There's many parts to that. I think really with the kids especially, because of all the challenges of going through not only divorce, but then, you know, some of the spouses remarrying, we have a great relationship with the former. So really just trying to be flexible for the kids and just be thankful. And, you know, it is. We cater to the schedules for the kids because there's enough stress that they have. And so, you know, one of the big challenges has been getting my kids to church, you know, for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And so trying to find a way for that to work and you know, I go through all the mental judo, to be honest with you, line things up and schedules. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But really just trying to make the holidays open and welcome, even to my new sons. And, you know, we've blended and we've done really, really well. It's as good as it gets. And those moments, we just, those moments of spending time with each other is really where we find it. And to be... Yeah, and to pray with them around the table and set the example. And quite frankly, to do activities, you know, if they want to go for a hike, play golf or whatever, you know, just because they are out of town. So when they're here, meet them where they are in quality time and intentional time. Yeah.
So, Bruce, I've got to know you a little bit. You have all these things you do that are intentional. How do you, even though you have these traditions that are rich and they foster the spirituality in family, how do you impart that it's still sincere every year? How do you approach your heart so that you, when you're with your family, it's sincere and fresh and new? Is there anything you can share about that?
You know, that intentional, I know we're almost overusing the word, but that takes away a lot of the stress. And it allows you to be there. To be there for them, to be yourself, to be loving. Gosh, from the simple thing of, okay, tangent. You see that skit on Saturday Night Live, December to Remember, where the guy brings home the Lexus and they don't have any money and blah blah blah. But it's really a funny skit. Saying that is like finances can be such a huge stressor. You know, you don't have to buy the diamond ring if you can't afford it. You don't, you know, figure out how much money you can afford and spend that and no more so you don't get into the stress situation. Christmas shouldn't be paid for in March because the great gifts can be almost homemade, you know. But eliminate the stresses that you can. Flexibility. Thanksgiving is almost never on Thursday for our family. This year will be Friday again. I learned that in the military and at Diablo. My daughter's an ICU nurse. And so the days we get a Thursday off for Thanksgiving, it almost never happens. Christmas doesn't have to be December 25th. As Jared said, that was a date that they picked. And if I can have better time with my family because of their other obligations on December 26th, okay, that's Christmas. And so that way, that allows us to have the down time, the open to where, yeah, we can throw a football. We can spend the day, you know, baking cookies or something that, or reading the Bible together, like I said, you know, something that, just do your best, plan ahead, and take away the stressors. And be flexible. Don't be it has to be Thursday. You know, be wide open. And if your family has a hard time getting with all the stress of the fancy meal, make a simpler meal. You know, one pie is all you need instead of five or something. You know, do your best to be intentional and take away the stresses. And, you know, as the leader of the family, try and look to help people out, like especially your wives. My wife always wants the five pies. You know, it's like, it's okay. A pumpkin and a coconut, that's plenty. That's plenty, you know? And if the kids have had time to make sugar cookies ahead of time, cool. If not, cool. You know, but just make it as easy as you can so you can be you.
So Travis, you know, I often think of like a tax season for CPAs is crazy. I would think for someone that works in the church, it's like Christmas like that. So how do you like keep it fresh? Because like Christmas is now, you're already working on the Christmas season already now. How do you do that with your family and make sure it's still real?
Yeah, my wife calls it Christmas Travis, like around the end of October, when it's like I get this look on my face, like panic or something. I think for me, well, we've been practicing Sabbath for, you know, a few months now, just new to it, and just realizing our pace is unhealthy often, and so taking a 24-hour period. And one thing I've realized is that it's a lot of work to rest. It's a lot of work to prepare to rest. And so we practice it Friday to Saturday because Sunday is like a work day. And so, you know, to get to the point at 6 o'clock on Friday where you can, like, put your phone in the drawer, light a candle, read a psalm, whatever, it's a lot of preparation. And so I think with the holidays, I've just found, like, preparing and planning moments has allowed me to make the moments rather than me trying to make a moment in the moment I miss it. You know, so for me, it's just like, okay, these are the days we're going to do something special. You know, it's like we're Central Coast soft, so when it gets below 60 degrees, it's like, let's make a fire, you know, and just like being intentional. Let's make a fire. Let's like read the Bible, watch a movie, something like that. So just like planning those moments and those days out has been huge for us because it's such a crazy season. And then, you know, like a lot of people have said, like, it doesn't have to be on the 25th. So our like kind of Christmas break is like after the holiday. And so we'll take the first week or second week of January and get away and try to make that time. And so the family knows like that's their time. So
thank you. So last question is we're kind of getting long in the tooth here a little bit. I'd like just to, you've already shared a lot of wisdom already, but what would be kind of what you'd tell yourself 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a younger you, about maybe some of the stressors and mistakes you made in the holidays? How can I approach it differently to make it even more meaningful?
I really liked what Marty was saying, honestly, about just like being present. Because I think that's, I've just, my kids, it's so cliche to say that your kids grow up like that, but it's so true. And, you know, and you're stressed out about whatever it is. And I think the big thing I'm learning is, like, to be home when I'm home, like, mentally home when I'm home. And that is so difficult for me. And I think that's the thing I might tell my younger self is just be present. You can't get these moments back. You know, I've got 4 more years with my son, 8 with my daughter, and I just turned 40. And so I'm just like, it's just happening so quickly. And so I just want to capture as many moments with them as I can. So, you know, being intentional and just being present, I think, is huge, is what I'm learning.
Thank you. How about you, Bruce?
If I had to go with where I screwed up younger, there was a period I wasn't really walking with Christ, and that time where, you know, Christmas was a lot more about presents and a lot more about Santa and a lot less about Jesus and about, you know, just our love. And I regret those times. You know, I wish I had never taken a break, you know, from Jesus. And so, yeah, if that would be the thing, if I could have just had those years back to do better, and I'm trying to do better now with the grandkids, then I think that would have solved a lot of stuff. In fact, that probably would have solved most everything.
Rudy?
Well, on a practical side, I would not give my kids oranges in their stocking. that's a European thing that I still do, and they don't eat them, but be a little bolder in my faith demonstration. I do pray over my boys and my daughter now that they're older. But you know, going back 5, 6, 7, 8 years during the turmoil after the divorce and transition, I would have just laid, you know, I'm a very physical and you know, hug and kiss and physically give my children attention, but I would, in those moments, pray on them out loud rather than silent, and be more bold and confident in that. Yeah.
Thank you. Jeff?
I think I'm telling myself that right now I need to slow it down, you know, just slow down life a little bit, enjoy those moments. And then I think just have fun with the kids. Like, the kids remember those fun moments, and for me, just, like, to make those moments count and last, have fun, do some crazy stuff, and, yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Marty?
I think I've already mentioned it, though, but it was just kind of filling in space as we were younger, young parents and all. And so Bruce put to words the how-to. So I'm like, yeah, you know, slow down, just enjoy the moment. And then Bruce all, yeah, so don't make as many pies. You know, don't make the cookies if you don't have time to make the cookies. You made it 44 years. I'm surprised you made it 44 years. That's good advice, but, man, I don't know if I could do that. But that's it. I mean, you know, just let's go. One of your sermons way back, you know, you have, you know, live in the margins kind of a thing and make your margins bigger. So, and that's just it, you know. I know we keep saying the intentionality, but that is the theme. So it's just, you know, whatever you choose to do, just make those moments count. And that's what I wish I had done more, because we filled it with stuff, but what was the purpose of the stuff? And that was really to be together. And that would be the advice I give myself. You made this happen, so now enjoy it.
You know, I that was going to be the last question, but I just thought of something. I'm sorry. This is really intriguing to me. So I've heard this old story that there was this family, and they had this tradition of cooking a roast every Christmas. And so it's passed on generation to generation. And every Christmas, they cut off the ends of the roast. And so it's passed from grandma to daughter, or to mom to granddaughter. And finally, the granddaughter's hosting Christmas, and she's about to put the roast in, and her mom says, hey, you got to cut the ends of the roast off. And the granddaughter's like, but why? And the mom's like, you know, I don't really know. Why don't we ask grandma? And so they go to grandma, who's there, and they say, hey, grandma, why do we cut the ends of the roast off? And she's like, because we used to have really small ovens. That's why. So this tradition that was incorporated by this family generation to generation didn't have any value. So can you think of any traditions that maybe you inherited or continued that you finally are like, why am I doing this? Well, an epiphany of something that isn't healthy for the families. Let's start with you, Marty.
Oh, geez. Anything that's not healthy. I don't know. I don't have that one. But
Not too much eggnog.
What's that?
Too much eggnog.
No, we don't do eggnog, so that's a good one. No, I don't really have one. I'll come back.
Fair enough.
That's a hard question. I think, you know, so we used to go, I'm just going to go back to an earlier tradition that we've broken, right? So in my mom's family, there were like some alcoholism, and I just remember like a lot of drinking at Thanksgiving that we don't do that anymore, but like basically we'd have a lot of very loud and sometimes some like good arguments and stuff happened in the family. And so that was like a tradition that we just haven't continued and kind of ended. So I don't know if that helped.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
I think. How about you, Rudy?
Probably a tradition that has changed is, you know, and again, generational, coming back to some of the guys here with grandchildren. The older generations, the women did all the cooking. And so I would say that's something that's changed and has been broken in the sense that I support my wife, you know, because, I mean, our wives, they get nutty over the holidays. It gets so stressful. So being able to help them and, you know, like you said, hey, maybe only two pies instead of five, giving them some peace and grace in that, but also pulling the kids into it and making it a family affair. So, yeah, I would say, yeah, getting the whole family more involved, where maybe more traditionally it was, hey, it's the women's work and the guys go do something else.
That's a good one. I hadn't thought it in until these guys started talking, so I have the advantage here. But yeah, when we were first married, kind of what Jared was saying about moving from house to house and all, and I remember counting hours with my wife. Not pleasantly, we were argue pretty good about this. You know, we spent 3 hours at your parents, and we only spent two at mine. And these ridiculous, ridiculous arguments that, you know, it was like, okay, that's enough of that. We're not doing that anymore. And then the other one, you know, that I thought of while you were talking on, the tradition was me and my son would watch football on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Thank you very much. And when we weren't watching the football, we were throwing a football. Well, the kids would be underfoot in the kitchen, and she finally blew, and we kind of went, oh, okay, good idea. It's like, you take the kids. So we would take the younger kids, okay, let's go hike over to the dunes, and let's walk over to the beach. Let's something to get them out of their hair so the ladies could do whatever cooking they needed to, or we would jump in and do washing, because it was like we were just totally unaware. So I guess kind of be aware, especially the hardship your wife is going to be going through.
I think, you know, one thing Rudy was talking about was just being more intentional about the spiritual component, I think. Like, so when I was growing up, my family was, like, really into Santa, and, you know, my dad would put, like, would on our presents, we'd have, like, a Disney character, and all, so we wouldn't know who it was, and so we'd open, you know, cut the tape, all that kind of stuff you could do as kids. But it was, like, really about, like, Santa and all that kind of stuff. And my dad would, like, dress up as Santa, but he was, like, an average-sized Portuguese guy, so it was really weird. And then my dad and his twin brother, they would, when my uncle had kids, you know, Jen and I had just, they were newly married, and my uncle had us, like, chew up carrots and, like, spit them on the front lawn, like the reindeer had come and eat. It was insane. So we stopped that. we broke the generational sin. But I think what Jen and I'm really, like, sentimental and nostalgic, and so I wanted, like, let's just never tell them that Santa kids in here. Do you know? And so we just decided like at a relatively early age, let's, like, kind of fill them in and celebrate all of it, but, like, really try to make it about, this is about Jesus and the Advent and the waiting and the future hope and all those kinds of things. So I think that's one thing that's different that we tried to instill in our kids when they're growing up.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. This was really informative, and I appreciate you opening up your family's traditions to this group. Thank you. Wait. We're going to have to edit some of this. Sit down for a minute, please. I forgot. So we have this thing in the drop where this was Travis's doing. So the reason we call it the drop is the metaphor, I'm sorry. Let me restart that. You guys all have a penny? Yeah. All right, so thank you. So on the drop here, the whole the metaphor is that we're collecting wisdom, and it's wisdom is like pennies in a jar. And hopefully that we're going to fill our jar up and we'll be able to overflow our wisdom that we've collected into others' lives. So metaphorically, here's the jar. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.